Yes, sir,
oh,
it is another Monday.
This is Colin from Minnesota metal band Celestial Drift. You're rocking Attitude Era Live with my guy, the Icon.
Big shout out to Celestial Drift, the Minnesota metal band. Your boy, Colin Kramer, who put that little intro theme together here for us. And again, I do apologize. Last second call in intern who was supposed to work the game tonight got stuck in the snow. I had to come in because I have a Jeep and I'm Mr. You know, I'm old reliable in this regard. So looks like it's going to be Icon doing a good portion of the talking tonight because I'm going to have to keep hitting mute and whatnot with the music on and whatnot. But yeah, why don't you go ahead while I'm doing this and getting everything set up, why don't you go ahead and tell them what's not happening?
All right. Well, we have three guests on tonight. But before we do that, we just want to thank our sponsors real quick. First off, Big Nick Sports Cars, 3902 13th Avenue South, the basement of the West Acres Mall, 701-277-1989 for gaming, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, sports cards, Carson Wentz, NFL, Tops, Don Ross, Pinani, Score, all your sports memorabilia, whether you need just basically anything. It's all under one roof. It's Big Nick Sports Card, 701-277-1989. Also, we want to thank MPX Fitness and Training, 3955 40th Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 701-293-0002. And finally, Icon Enterprises, 701-205-8784. To get on the show, be part of the action, Icon Enterprises, 701-205-8784. Now that we got that.
How about your buddy there, Carson Wentz, huh?
Oh, man. I'll tell you, he sent out a little video today, and it was very touching, and I watched it. And, this is the second time he's been injured in his career, but he's got the ability to bounce back because he is that kind of a guy.
Well, I definitely think he's a tough enough kid to handle this, for sure. I think that this isn't going to be one of those things that's going to, you know, put a damper on his career and possibly end his career, obviously. But it does soil the Eagles' Super Bowl hopes, and that makes me just giddy because, you know, I get all these obnoxious Eagles fans. I'm close enough, well, I'm located in New York because I'm close enough to Philadelphia to have some Eagle fans around here. I'm actually quite happy that, you know, they're like, oh, Super Bowl, we're finally going to win a Super Bowl and, you know, and whatnot. And I'm like, ah, well, there you go. Now you've got, your backup quarterback in and yeah. So I'm excited about that just because of the division. I never like to see a guy get hurt, you know, obviously that's not what I'm excited about, but, you know, they can't laugh now. They used to laugh at us all the time about Tony Romo going down. Well, now they know how it feels to lose your starting quarterback. So, Eagles fans, eat that. But speaking of eating that, and quite frankly, I think your Vikings got a good shot anyway to be in the Super Bowl this year for the NFC. They're just that good. But my thing is, I was looking at the Raw promo. Now, again, I got called into the station to do Dolphins and Patriots last year, so I haven't really had a chance to watch Raw. It is recorded on my DVR, so I'm going to check it out when I get home. And again, I do apologize for any sounds that are in the background. I have a music studio on one side and the sports radio on the other, so you hear a mix of voices when I am talking into the microphone, not when I'm on the air, because when I'm not supposed to. See, the way that this works is I'm not on the air tonight. I'm just doing the game, but I'm doing the commercials for it and all that and all the spots and the liners and all that stuff that's already all pre-recorded. So I'm just pressing buttons. I'm not actually doing the airtime stuff tonight. So that's why you hear the stuff in the back when you normally wouldn't. But anyway, so we'll live with it though. So I was watching the Raw promo, and the main event tonight is going to be Braun Strowman versus Kane. The winner getting a shot to face. Yeah. The winner getting a chance to face Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. Now, my thing is, we talk every single week, and I feel like I'm beating a mutilated horse here. But we talk about predictability in a WWE. Well, with this whole predictability aspect, Braun Strowman has been saying that he wants the belt for a long time. Braun Strowman has been saying that he wants to be WWE champion, and he wants his fair shot at Brock Lesnar for a long time. Well, who do you think is going to win this match? Do you really think that they're going to give Kane, 40-something-year-old Kane, whose best years are far behind him, a title shot at the Royal Rumble?
Obviously,
it's going to be Braun Strowman. They're trying to push Braun Strowman, you know, and give him some momentum going into January's pay-per-view. I get it. Fine. Cool. But you could make the match a little bit more enticing. Okay? You could put some stipulations on it that would be more interesting. If Braun Strowman wins, he gets a title shot at the Royal Rumble. If Kane loses, he has to retire.
Yeah, what? Wouldn't it make more sense, though, to have, like, a fatal four-way or something like that instead of...
Something with a stipulation on it. Something with a stipulation on it. If Braun Strowman loses, he cannot compete for the WWE title until WrestleMania. Boom. Okay? Now, all the pressure's on Braun. It becomes an exciting match. People go, oh, geez, he can't compete for the belt for another 5 months. Then it becomes compelling. But when you look at a Braun Strowman who says, I've wanted to be in the title picture for so long, and then you put him up against 40-something-year-old Kane, who do you think is going to win that match? What I think that they should do, honestly, you mentioned Fatal 4-Way. I think there should be a triple threat. Because if you remember, who burst onto the scene and made his triumphant return last week? Oh, Samoa Joe. And you know Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar have a history. Why not make it a triple threat?
Well, here's the thing, though. They got Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns feuding right now.
Oh, of course. But why don't you make it a triple threat? Or make it a fatal four-way. Because you've got, like you said, because you've got Kane and Braun Strowman going, you know, neck and neck. They've been at each other's throats. You've got Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe feuding. Why don't you make it a fatal four-way? Now you've got four guys in the ring, none of which like each other. Each party is feuding with each other. That would be an interesting match. Winner of that fatal four-way then goes on to face, Brock Lesnar at the pay-per-view. You want to make it even more entertaining. Pull an old Vince McMahon from 98-99 and make a special guest referee. Put it in Brock Lesnar's hands. Even though it's pre-scripted, I understand all this. Put it in Brock Lesnar's hands. Make Paul Heyman or Brock Lesnar himself the special guest referee. Special guest referee of said Fatal 4-Way. Then you can spin it of Brock Lesnar chooses who he wants to face because Brock Lesnar is the one who has to count the 1, 2, 3, or Paul Heyman. Okay, that way, they can make it seem like Brock Lesnar chose Braun Strowman. And then you've got, hey, Brock asked for this match. He's the one who counted 1, 2, 3. Then you have a storyline. Okay? You don't have a storyline right now. You have a big, imposing guy with an awesome beard going up against a physical specimen with a slick-talking manager. That's all you've got. You've got two big names. You have two big names, but you have no setup.
Here's something else that people aren't thinking about. With Kane being 40 years old, how far in a match can he go? How long can he last with his age?
Well, Kane is still in peak physical condition. Kane is in amazing condition. That's not really the problem. The problem is more the predictability. Everybody knows Kane can smell from a mile away what's coming. Braun Strowman's going to beat Kane, probably going to dominate Kane, and all of a sudden, hey, the match is set. Great, promotion, cool. But you got to make it interesting. I like your Fatal 4-Way idea. I do. Put Roman Reigns in the match. He's going to get booed. Every time he does something good, Fans aren't going to want that. They don't want to see him back in the title picture. They're going to put Samoa Joe in the match. He said for a while he's wanted to be in it. So have Samoa Joe be in the Fatal 4-Way, then have Kane, then have Braun Strowman. Like I said, make a special guest referee. Make a stipulation. Make something to make that match at Royal Rumble mean that much more. Because right now, that match doesn't mean anything to me other than a title match right now. But if you put Brock Lesnar or Paul Heyman in as the special guest referee, all of a sudden they, you know, it gives the story some meaning. It gives it some life. It gives it a spark. And they got to do something, because right now, sure, you got two big names, but the setup is boring.
Well, you know, here's another twist, though. Here's another twist. Now, we're talking about this like Kane is going to lose this. But here's the deal. Is this what they want?
Why wouldn't he lose it, though?
Well, no, I mean, that's what they – I have a feeling that the writers are thinking, okay, everybody knows that that is what's going to happen. So let's flip the script and not let it happen that way. Do you follow?
Are you saying then Kane is going to beat Braun Strowman and get a title shot?
Well, here's what I'm saying.
Or is Kane going to get screwed in this match? Maybe Brock Lesnar comes out and screws Kane or something. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. What I'm saying is, Kane wins the match and then gets screwed before the next title, before the title shot happens.
But how? How would he get screwed? If they want to spin it this way, what they could do is, do you remember the whole attack? This was several months ago now. But when Roman Reigns attacked Braun Strowman in the back in the ambulance and flipped him upside down and bloodied him up or whatever, Kane could win the match. Braun Strowman could then attack Kane, take Kane out, make him incapable of fighting the match. Braun Strowman then gets inserted into the match that way. You could do it in that regard if you wanted to. Or you could have you know, that Fatal 4-Way that you just talked about, Kane ends up losing that match and losing his opportunity, even if he wins the one-on-one match tonight. So there are several ways you could spin it, whether Kane wins or whether Braun Strowman wins. The fact is, there's no setup. There's no storyline right now. As we stand, again, we have to wait and see what happens in that match. But as of right now, there's nothing enticing about watching that that I keep wanting to say every other pay-per-view, but that one. In that Royal Rumble match, there's really nothing enticing about it at all. Now, here's another thing, okay? Kane could be given the opportunity. Kane, what do you want to do? Kurt Angle could come out and say, hey, you could face Brock Lesnar. This would be another angle that they could do for creative. Kurt Angle could do his best Vince McMahon impression and say, let's make a deal, Kane. You beat Braun Strowman tonight. You've got Brock Lesnar at Royal Rumble. Which would you rather do? Would you rather face Brock Lesnar at Royal Rumble for the Universal title, or would you rather enter the Royal Rumble? Because remember, Kane's won more Royal Rumbles than anybody else. Would you rather enter the Royal Rumble, win the Royal Rumble, or have a chance to win the Royal Rumble and face Braun Strowman or Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania on the biggest stage of them all, in front of all the lights? Kane, finally the Universal Champion at WrestleMania. Then what could happen he would forfeit his shot at Royal Rumble. He would enter the Rumble. He would come down to the final one and would be screwed somehow by Braun Strowman, who would interfere in the match and, you know, jiggle the ropes or something so Kane falls over, whatnot. Kane then loses his opportunity completely, creating more heat, and all of a sudden, boom, Kane's out. So, but then it would give you, oh, hey, that was interesting, because now, if Braun Strowman beats Brock Lesnar, is Kane going to come out And is Kane going to, you know, and then Kane could stalk Roman, Braun Strowman for the next couple of months and do that creepy, you know, mind games thing with him for a couple of months. There are plenty of ways to spin this. They just refuse to do it.
Well, there's one other element that we're missing here, that you're missing.
What's that?
Could this also be the return of Triple H into the title picture? Think about it.
It could be. It could be. And another thing I'm thinking is I read somewhere in the deep archives of the internet that The Undertaker still has a match or two left in him. At least he feels that way. He has a match or two left in him. Now, after that celebration, when he put the gloves down and the cape and all that at WrestleMania, that was a pretty good way to go out. Would you be interested would you be interested in seeing Kane versus Undertaker again at WrestleMania?
No, there's only one match that people want to see The Undertaker in right now. That's The Undertaker versus Sting. It's the only match that people want to see The Undertaker participate.
Undertaker versus who? I didn't hear you there.
Sting.
Okay. Do you think that'll happen?
Yeah, the way it sounds like, Sting may have the one match left in him.
But then, here's the dilemma that you get into, okay? Who wins that match? Do you want to bring Sting out of retirement to lose to The Undertaker at WrestleMania? Or do you want to give The Undertaker his third consecutive WrestleMania loss?
No, I have a feeling that it would be it's not necessarily going to be like a win or loss thing. It may be like a last man standing thing. You know, when either
it still counts in the stat book for win loss, though.
Well, the deal is where neither wrestler comes out on top.
Both can't get up. They both can't make the count.
Exactly.
That could be interesting, but would the fans want to see a draw in that kind of match? Or would they want a decisive winner?
I think a match like that would call for that, you know? Or someone interferes in it and you get no winner.
Well,
you know,
sure,
like,
okay.
Like someone like Triple H or Shawn Michaels, something like that, you know?
Okay, but if you do something like that, WWE Creative would probably find a way to screw that up. They would probably, to be honest with you, do like, excuse me, they would probably do like Hell in a Cell, which is so played out at this point, you know? They would probably do something very bland and boring like that, because every opportunity that they have to make this is a hell of a storyline, they seem to squander it. And, you know, I don't think The Undertaker, I think that that's just a rumor, because quite frankly, the last time we saw The Undertaker, his skin was melting off of his body.
Yeah. So, yeah, There's a lot of cool things that they could do, but that is the match that people want to see. We've been waiting to see it for decades. You know, the only two real superstars that stuck true to their companies in their tenures. I mean, yes, The Undertaker started out, but people don't remember that. People remember the fact that he could have went to WCW. And did. Sting could have went to WWE and did.
True. He could have. And, you know, Sting, I really think that the Invasion storyline would have been so much better if Sting come over, or had Goldberg come over, or if Hogan came back, or whatnot. Now, I mean, I understand that they brought Hogan and all them over eventually when they did the whole NWO return in 02. But I think it would have been so much better. Can you do me a favor and move that machine back? Just move it back so she doesn't trip. Thank you. Sorry, I'm doing three things at once. Love you. So I think that I don't know. I think it would be interesting to see Sting again in that match. But again, when Sting fought Seth Rollins, I was not impressed. I really thought Sting was going to bring a lot more. All he did was kind of meander around the ring and then get hurt. You know, so
right.
he looked a lot older. At least Undertaker looked somewhat competent. I mean, I understand he's facing a guy 20-something years older than him in Roman Reigns, but at least he was still able to move around and do some things. Sting looked like a 60-year-old man out there, and he's not that old, you know, but he just, I can't wrap my head around it because I just think that if he does come out, he's going to either get hurt again or it's going to be a boring, it's going to be like watching two old men get into a fight in a nursing home.
Now, our guest should be calling in shortly, our first guest of the night.
When they pop on, I'll put him through.
Yes, of course, for fans that did not hear the announcement earlier, it's supposed to be terrific Tim Lawler. And I'll let you know something that's very interesting going on at Raw right now. All the Divas are out of the locker room, and they're attacking Paige and her cronies. And your favorite gal, Alexa Bliss, is leading the charge.
Beautiful. Well, I'm going to watch it when I get home. I've DVR'd Raw tonight because I got dragged down to the station here to do Monday Night Football. So I am definitely going to watch it. I just haven't had a chance to watch Raw except for last week and the last couple of weeks. Here's another thing.
Have you been watching WWE?
I've checked it out. You've been talking about it, and I've checked it out. The problem is I'm never really home when it's on. But I've been watching it on like Hulu and I've been finding YouTube clips of it and stuff. Cause quite frankly, I don't care about that show other than seeing Alexa Bliss. So I've really just been skipping to the parts that she's on, you know, cause I mean, there's so much reality TV out there right now. I don't need another reality TV show in my life, but I do need more Alexa Bliss in my life. So, you know, I'm just going to fast forward to the parts that she's in if I do watch it.
Well, she, I'll let you know this upcoming episode, she's going to be in it, looks like quite a bit. So, you know.
Good. Now, here's another thing. Alexa Bliss, obviously, still the champion. Do you think Alexa Bliss is due to lose the belt anytime coming up soon?
Yes.
When and to who?
Not Clash of Champions, but the next pay per view after that, and I'd say she may lose it to Paige, which would set up.
Do you really think that they would put the belt this quickly back on Paige?
Yeah, so that she can lose it to. I keep forgetting the name of that new guy.
Asuka?
Yeah, and then that would set up the feud between her and Alexa Bliss to get to WrestleMania.
Well, what I think would make Alexa Bliss look a lot better, because sometimes, and you know this, when you're watching the program, somebody can look good in a loss. They can look strong despite losing the match. They did that all the time. Whenever The Rock lost, whenever Triple H lost, whenever they always made them somehow look good despite losing. And how they can do that is have Alexa Bliss and Paige have Alexa Bliss dominate the match, okay, but have Paige's cronies get involved and have the numbers game catch up to them and basically have Alexa Bliss get jumped by those three and have her lose the belt basically by taking on 3-on-1. Now, that
would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be awesome, and it will also make Alexa Bliss look strong. You know, hey, she didn't just lose a one-on-one to Paige. She basically got mugged by three other people for the belt. So that would actually end up helping Bliss as well as advancing Paige's heel storyline. okay? But they won't do that. They won't. I've lost all faith. You've heard the phrase, I've lost faith in humanity. I've lost pretty much all faith in WWE creative at this point. And, you know, I'm half tempted, and I do this sometimes, and you're going to call me weird here. And we're waiting for the first guest to call in, so you're going to call me weird here. But sometimes I will take a brush or a toothbrush or a regular brush or whatever, some microphone-shaped object, and I will hold on to it, and I will pretend in my head, because I'm still a 12-year-old upstairs, that I am the general manager of Raw or SmackDown. And I make matches. I come out as if I'm out on the ramp talking, you know, or if I'm in the ring talking. And some of the ideas that I come up with are actually very Eric Bischoff-like. They're very brilliant in my mind. And they would be matches that I would absolutely die to see. Not because of the match itself, not because of the talent and the superstar itself, but because of the storyline. Because that's the beautiful thing, and that's why we decided to name this show Attitude Era Live. Everyone says, oh, Attitude Era, ruined wrestling. Oh, it was just booze and boobs and foul language. There were some kick-ass storylines in the Attitude Era that kept you on the edge of your seat, wondering what was going to happen next. The emotion in a lot of those storylines really touched you in some cases. And, I mean, of course, JR helped with that, but, and so did the cousin of our first guest, and we'll get to that in a minute, but it was just one of those things where you almost believed it. You know, you almost believed it was real, the way that they were able to portray some of those things. And that's what I would want, because if you're going to get an emotionally charged match, if you're going to get Brock Lesnar versus somebody, you want it to be a build-up. You want it to have, you know, emotion. You want to have, you know, a reason to root for or against Brock Lesnar. And in this case, we don't have any. We're just like, oh, all right, Brock Lesnar's facing somebody again. You know, and that's not really fair to the audience. You know, if you get a... You know, if you get a storyline, like I said, where you get that fatal four-way and you get Brock Lesnar or Paul Heyman to be the special guest referee, and they get to choose who they're facing or whatever, boom. All of a sudden, you've got yourself, you know, an emotional storyline. Well, I think she has it. It would be a storyline, emotional storyline for the pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? But and right now, I just don't that feel was, that. When is our guest supposed to be calling in, by the way?
Now.
Okay, I'm going to refresh the page here because I don't have anybody in yet, but maybe it's because of my internet issues it's not showing up. I don't know. We'll see in a second here when I refresh the page. But what were you saying? That would be a hell of a storyline?
I mean, you know, if, you know, this whole deal with, you know, Brock Lesnar holding the title, until WrestleMania, and we never see the guy, really. You know, I'm starting to get bored with it. Of course, I was bored with it when I first heard it, and I think a lot of people are too. You know, you're not going to change the bad direction that WWE Creative is going down. Like, you know, I don't know if you heard the latest thing, but their theme song composer, they fired him. They let him go. I don't know if you heard that or
well,
not.
No, I did, of course. I got you. I'm doing three or four things. I'm with you. I hear you there. Honestly, I feel like Brock Lesnar, it's growing on me. The whole idea of the big prize fight, the whole title fight thing where every match coming up against Brock Lesnar becomes that much more important. It's growing on me because it makes you be like, hey, who's finally going to be the one to beat this guy? And it's almost like when Undertaker was only fighting once a year, every WrestleMania. Hey, who's finally going to be the one to do it? growing on me. The difference is that they could build it up so much better. Hold on, I'm gonna check on this. The internet is not loading. So let me just get to a spot where I can load and see if he's on. So I'll be right back.
All right. And
we got nobody yet. Nobody's on there yet. So
we'll wait patiently.
Well, I will say this. You know, our guest has been having some health issues, and you know, he's been in and out of the hospital, and he did make me aware of that. But I think that if he's not able to join us, you know, I'm guessing our other guest will, but. You know, we'll see what happens here, but hopefully it's not too serious. Shall see what's happening here, and hopefully he will be able to call us.
Now you said that there are health issues. You don't feel comfortable disclosing perhaps what those health issues are?
Yeah, not right now because
no. Okay.
You know, if he wants to talk about it, you know that.
Then he can talk about it, kind of a thing, right? Yeah, I got you. That's the respectful thing to do. I hear you there. I'm all about that. I'm you know, I wouldn't want to upset any of our loyal guests. But while we're on this discussion,
I'll try and get a backup guest on in the meantime if he's unable to join us.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We can roll with the two. I've got an impassioned opinion here tonight. So, my thing here now is look at it this way. When you look at the talent that's on the roster right now, and you look at the name of, you know, some of the big names that we've got. Okay, sure, they're big names in recent wrestling history, but do you feel like perhaps there's been a time when there's been better overall talent, or do you feel like they have the best talent that they've had right now, they just aren't using them correctly?
That's, well, you know, as the different eras go through, you know, there's always going to be good talent with what's going on, you know, in every era, you know. And they got good talent, and no, I don't think they're using it correctly. I wish they would do better.
I think personally, the talent is great right now. Athletically, amazing. The booking is probably the worst it's ever been since I've been watching wrestling. Honestly, the worst. I'm saying this is rock bottom. This is the worst it's been. And that's just my opinion, of course. But it is just terrible booking right now.
You know, and I'm just wondering, though, if it's mainly because they got the wrong people on the wrong shows.
Well, what do you mean? Well, what changes would you make in that department?
Well, there's a lot of changes I would make. You know, I would change, you know, the women's division. Well, I would basically change everything. And I'm just wondering if they're starting to think of that as well, that you might see before or after WrestleMania. I mean, I think it would just make sense, wouldn't it? That they will do that.
Perhaps AJ Styles come over to Raw.
I think he deserves to be on Raw.
I don't think it's a matter of who deserves it. And there's
some wrestlers on the roster that I would.
There's
wrestlers on the roster right now that I would dump, get rid of. Don't give them a shot.
I don't think it's a matter of who, you know, who deserves to be on what show. I think it's more the matter because if you talk to anybody that's in the front office, they want both shows to be, or at least when they first made the idea of having the live broadcast, they wanted both shows to be almost equal. And, you know, I understand, you know, after – well, no, it has not. SmackDown was better for a little while. And now they've made it Raw's back to being the flagship again, which makes sense, which is fine. You know, you want to do that, then that's cool. I understand that. Raw has always been the flagship. But I think what they need to do now is they need to open up the talent pool, because I think this whole brand thing, it's getting a bit old. It's getting a bit old. You really want to open up talent. You really want to, you know, allow, you know, you want to allow different superstars to fight each other and create different storylines that may be, you know, more enticing or more exciting. Get rid of the brand. Get rid of the brand. I can't talk tonight. Get rid of the brand split and make the superstars eligible to fight on both shows. Because how many times have we seen during the Attitude Era, and even up until 04 or 05 when they made this, I think it was 06 actually, they made this brand split. How many times, actually, no, it was 04, I believe that's what it was, or 03. But anyway, how many times have we seen leading up to that something epic happen on Raw? And then, you know, they build on it on SmackDown. Build on it on SmackDown. Build on it on SmackDown. You know, I mean, arguably Stone Cold never really fought much on SmackDown. But sometimes if there was more to the story that they wanted to tell, they would tell it on Thursday night or Friday night. And to have back-to-back nights, if you want to have Braun Strowman versus Kane, and Kane wins the match, and then you want to have Braun Strowman re-challenge him on SmackDown, and then the very next night Kane loses his chance, that might be kind of cool, you know? And I think, you know, to see guys who have only been on SmackDown fight guys who have only been on Raw on a consistent basis, you don't need to hire new talent. You can just open up both shows and create rivalries that way. And I'm getting sick of the whole brand split thing of what show's better and what superstars deserve to be on what show. Allow them to fight on both. You know, I think that would be great for ratings for both shows, because it would also boost ticket sales. You know, if you're a huge Shield fan, so you're a huge, God forbid there is one out there, a huge Roman Reigns fan, and Raw is not coming to an area near you, but SmackDown is. You know how many times SmackDown or WWE Live has come to Albany, and I don't go because I don't care about the card, but if Raw came, I would go, you know? So why not have them open it up? So say, okay, well, SmackDown's coming, Raw's not. I only want to go see one or two superstars. You know what I'm saying? So it's a way to create more ticket attendance, more rivalries, to see Alexa Bliss facing Charlotte or facing, you know, Naomi or facing, you know, Natalia instead of just the same three women she's faced for the last 6 months. You know what I'm saying? I think the brand split needs to go bye-bye now. I don't know if you're in agreement with that with me.
Well, you know, in a way I am, and I'll tell you exactly why. Because I remember back in the day when SmackDown first debuted, there wasn't a brand split. There wasn't this split crap. You know, it's like something that would happen on Raw, it would continue on Thursday night, and then you'd wait for it. Now, you know, to be honest with you, I mean, I'll tape SmackDown, but I don't really sit and watch it, really. I just kind of like fast forward to, oh, that could be a good part, so I'll pause, I'll unpause it, or I'll stop fast forwarding for a little bit. But it's just not something I'll watch all the way through like I will Raw, you know.
Well, yeah, it's like I watch SmackDown, I watched SmackDown for Alexa Bliss. Now Alexa Bliss is on Raw. I have no need to watch SmackDown. I haven't watched a SmackDown since August. I don't care about SmackDown, okay? But if you allowed Alexa Bliss to wrestle on it, or if you brought some of the Raw talent over to fight on it, and, you know, let's say you had all the superstars in the mix and they could fight on any show, I would watch both, or I would at least record both. And, you know, I might even go to one or two here and there. So it's just, to me, the brand split doesn't matter because got people like me who only really care about one or two superstars in this new era of WWE, they're actually losing a fan on a certain show because, like I said, I don't care about SmackDown right now. I haven't cared about SmackDown. So I just think the brand split should go bye-bye, open up the talent pool. And if somebody wants to debut off NXT, don't worry about what show they're going to debut on. Just put them on the main roster. They can fight on both. You know. Now, I understand another reason why they're doing it is to preserve the health of some of these superstars. I get it. To fight back-to-back nights with the taxing that it takes on your body, I understand that. So make SmackDown on Friday again, okay? Or make it on Thursday at least, or whatever. If you want to do that, but don't give me subpar competition and subpar talent and subpar storylines and flat out make it obvious that it's the secondary show and then expect us to be excited to watch it. You know what I'm saying? I would rather watch NXT.
Right. And here's an interesting twist that just happened. And I don't know why it happened. But,
you with me, Till?
Well, no, what happened is,
here's maybe we have lost the icon here. Yes.
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Looks like maybe we lost the icon. So, he'll be back on. I'm sure he'll call back in. But it's just, I don't think I'm too far off base with this argument. I really don't. I think that I'm not trying to toot my own horn here or say that I'm better than anybody else, but I think I'm pretty spot on with this because if WWE wants to continue to push SmackDown as the B show, they're going to continue to lose fans left and right. I mean, it's bad enough that all these internet videos have come out on YouTube or whatnot about showing exposing the WWE, showing, you know, the spots where there's empty seats and spots where there's, you know, flaws and this and that. I think if you, let's say you do this, have the main roster able to fight on SmackDown, but don't put everybody, you know, if Braun Strowman doesn't want to fight both nights in a row every single week, then okay, have him there, have him involved, or maybe have talking promos on SmackDown or something like that from superstars if they can't do both nights in a row. But make it available to everybody because I think they would sell more tickets, more merchandise, and I think people would be generally more interested. So Icon, it looks like, is on with us, but cannot hear him at this point in time. Hang on. Let me put him back on here. Icon, are you with us?
I'm here.
Okay, there you are. I heard some silence. I thought maybe we lost you again.
Well, no, I heard you the entire time. I don't know what happened there, but that was kind of weird. But,
I couldn't hear you for whatever reason. I just couldn't hear you, but we got you back now.
All right. So. You know, like I say, I remember back in the day when it used to be the storylines would continue from Raw to SmackDown, blah, 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 blah. Then they decided to switch and go its own brand, and that didn't work, and they went away from that, and they went back to that. And it's just not working anymore. Mainly because they raped the talent they had on SmackDown. SmackDown and put him on Raw and vice versa. And that only did damage. It did not help the brand at all. As long as they're calling it a brand, it hasn't helped. You know? And I don't know if you agree with that or not, but that's just my take on the situation.
And it's definitely a good idea. The only problem with doing that now is they're selling in both shows. They're so ingrained with having both shows that what are they going to do about these belts? Okay, what are they going to do about the SmackDown Women's Champion, about the SmackDown Tag Titles, about all that? They're going to have to negate these belts. And you know, you're actually taking accomplishments away from superstars in that regard. So unless you want to make the belts, like let's say the champions could stay champions, but you just name the belt something else. So if you want to make the, you know, the Universal title, you know, have it be called the, I don't know, the Extreme title or something. You want to make it almost like, remember when they had the WWE title and the World Heavyweight Championship? Make it something similar to that. Make it something similar to that, and you can still have two champs. Just make one the highest and one the lower, you know, one just below it. Okay, so they can both be champs. Just make one a little bit lower than the other and decide who you want to be the higher-ranking champion. You know, there are ways around it. There are ways to do it. I just don't see it happening in the future. I think we're stuck with what we got for quite a good time to come, and I just don't know if that's for the best.
Well, you know, I think they things might change a little bit if things have not improved in the ratings by WrestleMania time. If things are still going awry like they are, you might see a change right after WrestleMania. They'll establish who they're going to have for the championships, and then they'll decide, okay, well, maybe it's time we switch. I think that's how it'll go.
I love it. I like the idea. I mean, the idea makes sense to me.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, and I hate to say this, but this could be the first night I had three guests booked and none of them show up. That would really drive me crazy, you know. Even though they all
so my thing is why is SmackDown like, I don't know, if you're going to market something, and that's my biggest beef, and I know that I've made this point already, but if you're going to intentionally market something as a subpar secondary show, why do you expect people to be excited to watch it? You know, and I just don't get that.
Now, we all know, and this is the next point I'm going to make. We all know that the biggest pay-per-view for the WWE ever, we all know this.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And here's, they're currently reinforcing the ring for Braun Strowman and Kane. So what does that tell you is going to happen?
It's going to break the ring.
Yeah. So guess what?
That's
going
to have they're not going to have a what? A winner? Yeah.
Not going to have a winner.
That to see again, predictability.
Right.
And if you're going to reinforce the ring, why show it? Why not just do
right.
it?
Right.
You know, again.
I'm going to step away for just 1 second, and I'll let you take on the, and I'll be right back.
All right. I definitely think, you know, and I think we do have our guests coming in here pretty soon, so we'll keep an eye out for them. But, yeah, it's all about predictability. I mean, if you're going to have your top show and you're going to market it as your top show, okay, then that's fine. But if you're going to expect somebody to watch something that's subpar, I mean, that's almost like saying, hey, you know, I'm going to use a sports analogy here since I'm a sports guy. Let's say it's Duke basketball, okay? And Duke basketball gets great attendance, and people jam-pack Cameron Indoor Stadium, and they want to see a top-five-ranked team, okay? And you come out and you say, we're having kind of a down year. We have some injuries. We didn't get a lot of recruits. We're not probably going to win a lot of games this year. But bear with us because we'll get better in the future. Why are you excited about that season? You know, same thing with or like the Cleveland Browns. Oh, hey, we got a lot of young talent. Okay, we got a lot of young talent we can build around. Things are looking up in Cleveland. Why are you excited about that Browns team? Show me something first, and then maybe I'll be excited about it. But I'm not excited right now.
Yeah,
did you hear my analogy about the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, you know, it's funny how you mentioned that. You know, think about this. They could have had Carson Wentz as their starting quarterback, and they screwed that up.
Yeah, they could have. But either way, it's just, like, I understand loyalty, and people are going to hit me with the loyalty argument. Oh, well, I've been a loyal Browns fan my whole life, and I'm not just going to abandon them because of – okay, fine. But if a Browns game is on TV against a different another game, I'm going to watch the other game. I'm not excited about watching a subpar product. I'm not excited about watching, you know, a team who has won one game in 2 years. And it's the same thing with SmackDown. It's the same thing with SmackDown. You're going to, you know, you're going to flat out admit that it's the B show, and you're going to expect me to be excited for it every Tuesday night. I got other things to do on Tuesdays. Okay, why would I be excited about watching SmackDown if you're not going to put the same amount of effort into SmackDown as you do into Raw? Okay, SmackDown kicked ass for the first couple of months after it became SmackDown Live. They put a lot of effort into it. They had good build-up on the matches. They had good storylines. They had good commentators. And now they've kind of just let it go to hell. And I don't like that fact where, you know, Raw still's not great simply because the booking is awful, but it's at least Raw has some elements that I could be excited to watch. So that's my main thing. If you take away the brand split and you give me the opportunity to see compelling matches with some of the superstars I enjoy on both shows, I'm going to watch both shows. But I'm not going to watch SmackDown right now because I have no need to. If SmackDown comes to Albany, I'm not going to watch. Okay, put it this way. I could walk to the arena from the studio here. Okay, I could walk to the arena that SmackDown's going to be in, and I wouldn't even watch it on television. And it's in the arena I can walk to. Okay, so why would I want to, you know, spend money on tickets or spend money on merchandise or invest my time in it? I don't even like watching Raw other than a few moments. You know, Alexa Bliss and some other maybe more compelling matches here and there. Quite frankly, the only reason I watch WWE at all right now is because we have this show. So,
right.
I mean, you know, you gotta give me something. And that's why I miss TNA. If the cable companies didn't make it so damn difficult to watch TNA, I would probably solely watch that because at least they had jam-packed action. They had emotional storylines. You know, they gave me a reason to be on the edge of my seat and say, oh crap, what's going to happen next? Not so much with WWE. It's almost like they know they're the conglomerate. They know that there's nobody that's touching them right now, and they're going to say, you know what, we're going to put it out there anyway because you don't have another choice. If you want to watch wrestling, we're it. So you're going to have to, you know, take what we're giving you and like it. That's what they're doing right now. And it's really they might be able to pull that off with the fan base that they have, but not with people who have been watching wrestling their whole life. It's not going to fly.
Now, I'm going to throw a little twist in here for you. Let's say – and I cannot believe I'm doing this, and I apologize to our fans ahead of time. But I'm going to throw this out there. Would you change your mind if they were to say that Edge would become the new Raw general manager, the new SmackDown general manager? Would you change your mind? And start watching one of those shows full-time again if you found that out, that Raw SmackDown was going to make Edge the general manager? Or would you still have the same opinion?
Well, I liked, honestly, and this is going to sound really weird because a lot of people don't like her because of that terrible voice, but I like heel general managers. And going back and watching on the WWE Network and watching, you know, when Vicky Guerrero was the SmackDown general manager, albeit there was a lot of Edge at that time, okay? But I liked the heel general manager aspect of it, and everybody fighting against the man, fighting against authority. Put it this way, okay? I've never really, throughout my history of being a wrestling fan, really cared all that much about SmackDown. But I watched every SmackDown when Edge was on it. When Edge got drafted to SmackDown, I thought, oh, crap. Okay, Edge going to SmackDown. Damn it. You know, he just had some of these very compelling storylines with John Cena and that big, long battle all the way through 05 with John Cena and into 06. And I'm like, oh, great. This is going to be great. You know, Edge is amazing. He's on Raw. He's kicking ass. He goes to SmackDown, and I'm sitting there thinking, nah, all right, now I got to watch SmackDown. And I did. I watched every SmackDown, because SmackDown had The Undertaker. It had Batista. It had, you know, Kane at one point. It had Edge. It had these big names. I can't, if you look at the talent pool right now, they've got AJ Styles. Okay, great. AJ Styles. He's great, but he's not making me turn the channel to SmackDown. They've got Kevin Owens. I think he's a good athlete, personally. I know you don't like him, but he's not compelling enough to me to make me turn on SmackDown. Names like Edge, names like Undertaker, names like Batista, back in the day, equivalent names to that, made me turn on SmackDown. If you put a big-time name on SmackDown and they have to fight on SmackDown, people are going to watch it. But they don't have a big-time name. Nobody cared that Jinder Mahal was a champion. That was an experiment that they did when they did their Indian tour so that they could make money and fill arenas overseas. People don't care. I mean, no, not really. Not the way that they wanted it to.
Why do you think Jinder Mahal is not champion right now? Because it didn't work. It did not work the way they expected it to. And to be honest with you, I knew it wasn't going to work either. Because I guess, you know, people are just sick of the foreign country guy who we're feuding with as the champion. You know, that stuff was done in the 80s. That's over now. People don't want to see that crap anymore.
No, I hear you.
I mean, you know, they did it with the late 70s and the early 80s with the Iron Sheik from Iran.
No, I was born in 88. I don't remember the early 80s.
Well, then they did it with Sergeant Slaughter being an Iraqi sympathizer during the Persian Gulf War. You know, that's an old and tired storyline. They need to stop doing that stuff. And they keep doing it. They need to understand it's not working anymore. People don't care. People aren't into watching wrestling because of politics crap. You know,
they've always been a politically charged company. They've always been a company that touches on social issues. They've always been a company that, you know, will make light of certain situations. Like when they had Muhammad Hassan. And Muhammad Hassan was, you know, the Iraqi guy, and he was, oh, American infidels, and you Americans are selfish, and all of this. Sure. Oh, shit. Sorry, I just sat down in the chair, and there was not a full leg on it. That was beautiful. I almost just busted myself. Anyway, Muhammad Hassan, okay, he would get booed. I understand that. Of course he would. But it was compelling. It was, hey, you know what? What are you doing this Thursday night? Oh, hey, I don't have much going on. Okay, hey, let's go boo this Islamic guy who keeps saying F America. Okay, great, let's go do it. It gave you something to do. It gave you something to get excited about. Hey, this guy sucks. Let's go throw something at him. Okay, they don't have anybody. They didn't even have heels like that anymore. Okay, in fact, the heels get cheered nowadays. You know? I mean, Alexa Bliss. the biggest B-I-G-C-H on the roster. She is brutal. I mean, she is just, her character is the biggest spoiled brat ever.
And
she's,
you know,
the number one. Number one woman. Yeah, I know, me too. But she's the number one woman. She's got her own Facebook fan page. Okay, she's got, you know, she was added to Total Divas to boost ratings. She was, you know, she does all these modeling photos, whatnot. Okay, people have forgotten Bayley's existed. People don't care about Sasha Banks anymore. Alexa Bliss is it, and she's supposed to be the heel. You're supposed to boo the heels. You're supposed to have this deep-seated, like, the kind of hatred you have for Kevin Owens is how you're supposed to feel about heel characters. But that's not, they don't have one of those nowadays. And that's another thing that they're messing up on. They haven't made you hate anybody other than you with Kevin Owens enough in recent times. That's something that's got to change also.
Right. You know, and there's a few other topics that we can touch on. I apologize to our fans listening. If you go to our Off the Ropes page on Facebook, I put the list of three guests there. They didn't show up. I don't know what's going on there. I knew one potentially did not.
It's totally fine, though. It's totally fine, though, because as much as we love having guests, and, you know, they're always welcome to pop on with us, and even if we got to do special Wednesday shows or whatever, they're always welcome to pop on with us. But we haven't had a real debate. We haven't had a real back-and-forth discussion in a while because 90% of our show is interview. That's why.
Now, the thing is, we want our fans to know, on Monday, December 25th, we are not doing a show. That's Christmas. We're not doing a show. However, next week is supposed to be the last show of the year for us. However, right now the Icon is currently in the works. We might, if me and the Big Swing can set it up and get it finalized, we may be having a special Wednesday show to close out the year. There is a new wrestling federation that wants to feature all their wrestlers on our show. Now we've done this a couple times. They've actually heard those shows, and they sent me a message on Facebook saying, "Hey, why didn't you call us? We'd love to do that." I said, "Well, I'm sorry, I didn't know that you guys existed." They said, "Well, that's why we need to be on your show." So I said, "Let's see if we can set it up then." You know, you wouldn't object to it, right?
No, of course not. Why, I wouldn't object to anything. I mean, any kind of promotion we can give ourselves as well as give another company who's on the rise, of course I would love to have them on.
Right, and, you know, the thing is, by having these companies on with us, that might get you and I a good job in the future, you know, as we talk to our...
Yeah, no, I would definitely be down for that. Like, there's no question. That would be something that would be... I'd be honored to have them on. And if we can find a time where we can make it all work, let's do it.
Right, and then the one thing I will announce, and this has been confirmed, that next week we are going to have Brian Pillman Jr. on this show. Now, I've been working on him since the summer, and his training is all complete, and he's his manager is letting him... you know, have some freedom. So now he's going to join us. And I cannot wait for that.
And for those of you who may not know, he is the son of the legendary Brian Pillman.
Yes. And, of course, everybody knows that Brian Pillman, his father, is famous, had the most famous Monday Night Raw in history. With a gun, and Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't know. Have you ever seen that episode? You know which episode I'm referring to?
What year was that?
That would have been around 96, 97.
I may have, but I don't remember. I've been watching so many episodes, you know, in the past couple of months that maybe. The only real gun one that comes to my head, off the top of my head, is the fake gun when Austin supposedly got fired and had the fake gun in the head of McMahon and he wet himself. That's the last one I remember. So maybe I got to go back and check the filming thing.
Well, and, you know, by the... before we get off the air here, I will try and find when that was. And, you know, also, Brian Pillman was also involved in another one of the most interesting storylines where Stone Cold put the chair.
Hey, I'm going to step away for 1 second. Just explain to him
what
it is. I'm going to step away for 1 second.
All right. Well, that's where the term Pillmanize his ankle came in. Stone Cold actually put a chair, Pillman's ankle, and broke his ankle with the chair because there's no bend in the chair. He jumped off the rope and stomped on it. And Pillmanized his ankle is what they called that back in the day. I don't know if the term is still used today, but... if you ever have a chance to go back out and check out that episode, I would suggest checking in on. And as a matter of fact, before the end of the show here, I will try and find when that was. As a matter of fact, it happened on... November 4th of 1996 is when that happened. That was 21 years ago now? Almost.
Yeah, a long time ago. Very long time ago.
Yeah, November 4th of 96 is when that was. And that's when WWE came up with the parody, Pillman's Got a Gun.
Yeah, no, I remember that. And, the thing is with me is, with Pillman, was that like the defining moment? I mean, do people remember anything else about him besides that?
Well, you know, Brian Pillman had a lot of interesting other things in his career. Like, he's also known for helping pile drive Paul Orndorff onto plate concrete. And that was supposed to set up an angle between those guys. But, of course, Brian Pillman left and went to WWE. So that never happened. And apparently, the way I understand it, is there was a deal that there was a deal where Eric Bischoff had set that up for him to go to WWE, and then he was going to bring him back. Of course, that never happened because Brian Pillman was found dead in a hotel. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, as a matter of fact, the same situation where Eddie Guerrero was found in a hotel room dead in Minneapolis. So it's very interesting, is it not, that you go to...
Oh, no, it totally is. And I definitely think that... I'm not saying that there's any conspiracy there. I'm not that kind of guy, but it could be. I mean, there could be some. You never know.
And, Brian Pillman, he passed away on November 26th of 2009, 18 years ago, so I cannot wait to chat with Brian Pillman Jr. Like I said, I've been working on him for a long time, and we'll see.
And of course, I'm excited to ask him, sort of growing up in the business, like having his father be sort of a polarizing figure in the mid-90s, what that was like being a kid growing up that time.
And also knowing that the fact that your father and the guy that would eventually become Stone Cold Steve Austin, Stunning Steve Austin, were tag team partners as the Hollywood Blonde.
Wasn't it Pillman, if I remember correctly, wasn't it Pillman who Austin was talking about when he came up with the phrase 316, I just whooped your ass? Wasn't that who it was about?
No, Jake the Snake Roberts.
I believe it was, and obviously that became his signature thing. So, I mean, in a way, he indirectly led to one of the biggest marketing, you know, slogans ever in the history of sports, you know, sports entertainment or sports in general.
Well, the story with Austin 316 that happened is he had wrestled Jake the Snake Roberts at the King of the Ring, and back at that time, Jake the Snake Roberts was doing the whole born-again Christian thing. And Stone Cold Steve Austin said, you sit there and you thump your Bibles. You talk about your Psalms, John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whipped your ass. You know, and I'll never forget that promo. That was the promo that made Stone Cold was actually born that day during that pay-per-view. And the interesting thing about that is he was not originally supposed to win the King of the Ring that year. It was supposed to be Triple H. But he did the infamous curtain call with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. And he was severely punished for that little situation, which led to them giving the yielding to Stone Cold instead. So that's how that all
happened. Yeah, I remember that. And, you know, Triple H eventually got his. We can't say that we were bad, you know, that we were, you know, upset at Triple H at all or feel bad for him. I mean, he definitely eventually got his.
And, well, you know, Triple H, would you say that he is one of the most powerful men in the company? I think so. And, I shouldn't say this, but one of the reasons partly is because, well, you know, he's sleeping with the boss's daughter. Do you think that had anything to do with it? I think so. Maybe not all the way, but it didn't hurt. Would you agree or disagree with that? I don't think there's any way that you can deny that statement. At least I don't think you can.
I hear you. So here's what we're gonna do though. I'm thinking tonight will be like an 11:30 show. We're probably not gonna have the guests come on tonight. So we'll probably stop the discussion a little short, and get excited and get the build up for Brian Pillman Jr. to come in. And when he comes in, we will you know, we'll talk to him, we'll do all that, and we'll have a heck of an interview as we're known to do. So let's do that, because the Monday Night Football game's ending here pretty soon, and I know what's gonna happen.
All right, well, let me quick announce who we got slated for next week.
Pillman Jr. Who else is coming up?
Donald Sylvester and Matthew Palmer. Two big independent wrestlers that, once again, the guests that were supposed to be on tonight with us, I found. The guests that are supposed to be on with us next week came to me and asked to be on the show. So hopefully there won't be any disappointments there. But we have been disappointed before. And, you know, there's one other guy that hopefully will eventually join us, but I don't think the guy's got a spine enough to join us. That's James Ellsworth. And, you know, if he's listening, you got an open invitation, but I don't know why you won't call me. So that's that. And also, one other couple of things that we're going to touch on here before we sign off here in about 11 minutes. The fact
Well, real quick, I got something I got to tell you just before we get off the air. So, but yeah, you make your point quick first.
Yeah, the Miz is taking some time off because he's going to be filming the next Marine. So he's going to be off of TV for a while. And a cruiserweight or a light heavyweight or whatever the hell you want to call him has been suspended indefinitely for domestic violence, which is why tonight they had the new Fatal 4-Way match to see who the number one contender is, because he lost his opportunity because he decided to beat his wife. And you heard about that, right?
I did hear about that. I didn't know what the ramifications were going to be, but I heard about it.
Yeah, and now that he's been fired, maybe I can find him. Maybe he can be a guest on our show. You never know. Richard Swan is the guy I'm referring to. And unfortunately, he got fired. So WWE has zero tolerance for
So, and that's good. I like that they do. This weekend, I got to watch a football game that I don't often get to watch. A team that is almost never on my television screen because just geographic location and whatnot. But I watched a good portion of, not all of, but a good portion of the North Dakota State versus Wofford football game. And I was like, oh, wow, it's on television. And all I was thinking was somewhere, although I didn't see you on TV, although I was in and out of consciousness because I was sleeping in that day and I kind of had it on as background noise, but I didn't notice the icon, but I knew that somehow in my subconscious that you were there.
Well, the icon was on once for a brief bit. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, speaking of that, I have a gentleman that knows you, and I believe that you know, that asked me to send a hello to you.
Who's that?
Matt Larson.
Matt Larson?
Yep, he's our athletic director. He used to be the athletic director up at Stony Brook.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. So, okay. So, yeah, Matt Larson, again, the name at first didn't ring, but, yeah, no, Matt, okay. So, awesome. And that's always fun to hear names from the past, so that's awesome. But, yeah, I watched that game, and I'll tell you, Wofford had it close, and then it was just an onslaught after that. I mean, once the brakes came off for the Terriers, it was just game over from that point. It seemed like it was almost effortless for North Dakota State at that point, whereas James Madison really had all they could handle with Weber State, and and they had to win on a last-minute field goal. So if those two end up facing each other, I'm looking, just based on momentum, that North Dakota State looked like the better team.
Well, you know, the thing is, there's also something else that people are saying that might happen too.
What's that?
South Dakota State and North Dakota State down in Texas, in Frisco, for the championship. Now, for that fact, the state of Texas has not had an invasion like that since the Alamo. They'd be invaded by two Dakota teams, and that would be really interesting. You know,
that would be. They still have to get by James Madison, though, one of the two of them. So,
well,
we'll see how all that goes.
The whole deal with James Madison, though, and I'm sticking to my guns on this. Now, if there's any James Madison fans that are listening, you can feel free to call in on this, not right now, next week, and you can tell me I was wrong to my face if you feel so obligated to. But James Madison is not as good as they're advertised. If they were, the game against the game they played against Weber State should not have been that close, if it was.
No, it should not have been. I agree. Weber State came to play, though. They were bowling.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from Weber State, but their secondary was terrible in that game. It was just terrible. And I don't know. Now, are you going to be watching the game Friday night?
If it's on television here, yes.
Yes, it is. It's going to be on ESPN2.
So national television. Okay. Then, yeah, I'll check it out.
Yep. And you'll probably – I guarantee you'll see me. Probably one of the reasons why you did not recognize me on TV this time is because I was not wearing my duster and everything. I was actually wearing my new leather bison jacket. So I was not in my normal ensemble.
Well, I would recognize you anywhere. So, but again, check them out. Friday night, the icon should be on television. We are doing stuff, making moves all over the country. National television, national radio. We are all over the place. NFL guys are kicking me out here. Next week, however, I'm not going to be at work. So next week, full show, full 2 hours. I'll be home for it. And even if I'm not home for it, I'll be in the sub-studio, so I won't have to use the main one. So I have a full show next week so we can really soak in all of that Brian Pillman goodness and go from there. So, again, it's been a good show. We haven't had a discussion like this in a while. And thank you for making us part of your evening. We will talk to you in a little bit.
Dead man walking.
You've done it now.
You've gone and made a big mistake.
And I can't allow
you to think you can just walk away.
So turn around
and face the life you're gonna pay.
Cause the end is now.
This is gonna be a good day.
A cheap shot.
That's the way that you play the game.
I was blindsided.
But things will never, ever be the same.
They always finish last.
But that asses.